Welcome to the Lifecast. We hope that you find this ministry of New Life Assembly of God as an encouragement to you. You'll hear messages and lessons in God's Word by our staff and special guests. Enjoy the podcast.
I want to share with you just a little illustration, and I'm a little hesitant in sharing it because I'm afraid some of you might trip over the illustration because the illustration is a, well, James, it's a pumpkin. And, you know, as Christians, we tend not to, you know, participate in October 31st. That's Halloween, son. You looked confused. I saw you going, what's October 31st? We don't really participate in that. We do some other things in that. And that's not the point. So I don't want you to trip over this. But, you know, there's a parallel between sometimes when we have carved pumpkins, you know, maybe, oh, you've never done that. Well, there was a time where I did, and we carved pumpkins. And I know now that you make Christian pumpkins instead of a frightening face, you put a cross in it or something like that. And, you know, I don't want you to trip over that. The point that I want to make is sometimes I have been, or we have been as a church, as Christians, like these carved pumpkins where we put the smiley face in and we got that smile part down, but our pumpkin has no feet. It's not ready to go anywhere. And sometimes we go through the exteriors or we have some things in place in our Christian walk, but we're not ready to go anywhere. We're not prepared for the journey. We're not prepared other than we just kind of sit there or stuck in our mode of life, and we're not prepared to go anywhere. And we hear words like this when Jesus comes to his disciples and says, you know, follow me. We have to grab that concept that, you know, Jesus is going somewhere. And it's not just this physical travel. It's that you as a person follow after me, who I am and what I'm like. And that's going to involve some change for you. You know, Jesus was very clear when people were saying, yeah, I'll follow you. I want to follow you. I want to be your disciple. And he gives them some scenarios, you know. Birds of the air, you know, they have nests. But the Son of Man has no place to lay his head. You know, and he goes through these scenarios. And people are hearing the cost of following Christ. That, you know, life is going to change. So things that you now are so concerned about and care about, your cares need to change. Jesus asked some interesting questions, and we're going to look at a couple of questions that he asked a couple of people, and you'll find them at different places in the Scripture. And they're questions that, you know, they needed to be answered by these people. Before we look at the questions, I want to mention this to you, and we know we've lived through an era or a season or a time of therapy or therapists. And you go and you talk about all the stuff that's happened and you go over that stuff and how you feel about that stuff. And I'm not belittling that because there's a place for it. But there has been a rising phrase and change in something called coaching. And you've heard me maybe mention this before. And coaching, they have discovered, is different than therapy. What they have discovered is as they have assessed people who have gone through these two different modes of help and assistance for personal development, they have discovered this, that therapy continues to go over and mull through all the stuff and encourages to go through all the stuff, and the outcome is very little change. What they are finding in coaching is that the focus is very different. That coaching has to do with Not so much where you've been. There's a place for that, and it's important, and you need to identify that. But the place that you now find yourself, where do you want or need to go from here? And coaching looks at that. How do we get from where you are to where you need or want to be? And that's the difference. History is very important to all of us. But Jesus even talks about, you know what? Past is behind you, and if you keep looking over your shoulder, you're not going to be fit for service in God's kingdom. You need to put your hands to the plow and watch where you're going. You know, there's a principle that says where you look is where you're going to go. Some of us get busy looking at something we don't want and we don't want to become, and yet we're so looking at it, we're so fearful of it, and we're trying to go somewhere else, but we're so busy looking at that that, you know what? We end up going there. Where we look is where we go. And coaching talks about moving ahead. How do we get from where we are in our life, our state of life, our situation, our spiritual walk, whatever the circumstances? Yes, previous decisions or victimizations and etc. are part of what we are today. But how do we move from here to where we're going? Jesus, on different occasions, he asked this question. And it's related to physical healing, but there's a principle involved. You see, on one occasion, I should probably tell you where it's at. If you go over and you were to look in John chapter 5 at the very beginning of the chapter, it's Jesus. He's at this pool, and it's labeled as a healing pool. And people would lay around this pool, and one time a year an angel from heaven would come down and stir the waters, and whoever got in first received a healing. Well, Jesus comes to this pool, and there are people all around waiting for the waters to be stirred to see if they can be the first one in. Well, a man that he has conversation with is an invalid. And as they're there, and it's obvious that he's an invalid, Jesus asks him a question. And the question he asks him is, do you want to get well? Sounds like a peculiar question. He's waiting around the pool. And he's an invalid. And Jesus says, do you want to be healed? And he goes into the story. You know, I'm waiting for the water to be stirred, see if I can be the first one in. He goes to us. And rather than saying yes or no, he begins to express his desire. I am here. I'm waiting. I've tried to get in. Others get in before me. And he starts telling a story of his desire. And Jesus responds and, of course, heals the man. Tells him to pick up his mat and go home. I want to encourage you, this is a little side note, this is not really part of the message, but I'm going to mention this to you. Sunday's a special time for us to get together, and when we get together, there's a revelation of His presence, and we worship, and we encourage one another, and we're in this place, and we feed off the Spirit's moving among us, and we feed off that and encourage us and draws us, and there's something special that happens. But we have to be careful that we don't just build this diet on Sunday. I want you to hear this. It's not living Sunday to Sunday. That's like this guy. I'm just waiting for the next moment when the water's stirred and I can get in. Well, I'll just wait till next Sunday. Do you understand? Of course you do. I'm not belittling your intelligence, but we have to remember, I have to understand, I have to remind myself that, you know what? It's not waiting for Sunday. Jesus is Jesus every day. Everywhere. Every place. I mean, Sunday is a great day to look forward to. And it's a time for us to get together, and it's a time for us to pray for one another. But do you understand that can happen on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, through the week, into the weekend? Jesus is wanting to do something in our lives all the time. It's not just building this appetite for when the pool's stirred or, well, when church happens. It's a side note, not part of the message. You know, if we look over or back to Mark chapter 10, Jesus asks another question, not do you want to be healed? But he's coming to Jericho, and you know the story, and I've preached from this text before. And as they're traveling, there's a blind man who's on the side of the road, and he hears that Jesus is coming, and his name is Bartimaeus, and he begins to scream out and yell out, "Son of David!" He's talking about Jesus. "Have mercy on me." And he's shouting and shouting, and people tried to tell him to be quiet and don't bother the master. Well, Jesus hears him and says, "Bring him over to me. Bring him over to me." And so they go and they get Bartimaeus and they bring him over to Jesus. And Jesus asked him a question. Now, there's a reason that he had to be brought to Jesus. He's blind. He can't see. "Bring him over here." And Jesus asks him, "What do you want me to do for you?" You know, these questions seem like, Jesus, why are you asking these questions? He's an invalid. He's waiting around a pool. Of course he wants to be healed. Here's a blind man who's crying out to you. What do you mean? The man says, "I want to see." Jesus asked these questions. He asked a variety of questions through the parables. You see, I think part of the reason that he asked these questions is because he wasn't just interested in getting these guys off their mat. He wanted to know if they are ready. Are you ready not just to receive your healing? Are you ready for the life change that is supposed to follow this healing? Do you really want to be healed? Do you really want to gain your sight? Do you understand what you're asking for? The same question can be asked in this room. What is it you want Jesus to do for you? And you can state whatever it is. But are you ready? Am I ready? Do I have feet? Because my life is called to change. When you experience the touch of Christ in healing or wisdom or whatever it is that you want him or need him to do for you, understand that the consequence or the fruitfulness that's expected from that is not only the answer to the blessing that we are seeking him for, but it is going to involve that all of a sudden our life, our view, our cares are supposed to change. It's not just getting a handout from God. Thank you. There's a responsibility that goes with it. Bartimaeus understood this. I think I've shared this part with you once before, some time ago. It says, when Bartimaeus got up, he threw his cloak aside. It's just in the verse. It's right there. But that is not just some passing detail. There's a significance about it. You see, those who could beg were given a cloak. And it had a certain pattern in it. And that cloak, that garment, was like a license or a permit that we in the city recognize that you have a disability, and here is a cloak, and you can go and legally beg. So people who are walking around in the community see that cloak and understand that you are legitimately in need. When they come to get Bartimaeus, he throws his cloak aside before he can see. He threw his license away, his permit away. What an act of faith. The master's calling for me. And his cares began to change. He understood that if he would begin to see, he would have to live up to a new responsibility based upon his faith and his healing that came by Christ. That he would now have to live as another level of responsibility in the community in which he lived. Matthew Fox is an author, and he's made an assessment on the society that we live in here in the United States. And he says, our society and its standards now have become puny and weak-willed because we are committing a sin of acedia. And he describes what acedia means. This sin of acedia is that we have become relatively lazy and bored and arrogant in it. Lazy, bored, and arrogant. That in our society, and in light of the context of the scripture, it's give me a handout, but don't call me to responsibility or to change. We as followers of Christ, who he has given his life for, and when we believe upon him, salvation comes to us. And it is the ultimate healing of all, because we are restored to God in relationship. It's a spiritual healing, and the spirit is eternal. And it begins to change the way we live here. Not only for after death and eternal life, but here. And we understand that when Christ comes into our life, it calls us to a level of responsibility that we have to be prepared, or a readiness to move. We have to have feet. We have to follow. Yes, the blessing of salvation. Yes, the blessing of healing. Yes, the blessing of this and all that Christ offers and all who he is. But understand that if we really want to be healed, if we really want to be saved, if we really want the blessing that we're seeking from God, that along with it is there's a transformation that has to take place in us. It's not just a handout. And God is gracious and full of mercy, and we don't earn the healings. It is a gift from him. But when those things come to us, we have got to be ready to move. One of the challenges they say for leadership now, and especially in the area of ministry, because you're dealing with volunteers. In other words, this morning, nobody needs to be here. One of the challenges is not trying to convince people to believe. Because we have taken that mentality because we know that salvation comes by faith in Christ, not by works. We don't work to get saved. We believe upon the work that Jesus did, and because we put faith in him, his grace, we apply to our life, and now we are saved. We are forgiven. That's how salvation comes. That's what the gospel talks about. That's what Paul argued and fought for. That salvation is a gift of God, not by the works of men. And they say, the challenges of leadership is not convincing people to believe. It's trying to convince people to change what they care about. Change what they care about. Jesus did this all the time. The Pharisees, what were they concerned about? They were concerned about their own reputation and power. And Jesus called them to start caring about the people. People who had an awful past and lost in sin, and they came in contact with Jesus. He said, stop caring about your past. Start looking at where you go from here. That your focus and your care is different. I guess you want to put it in these terms, there is no greater life coach than Jesus. And God gives handouts. But those blessings have to somehow move me. If you're in this place and you desire healing, understand that you're going to have to give up that which you used to care about. You see, when we suffer for something for a long time, the temptation is, not everyone falls into it, but the temptation is, well, I've ailed for this, I've gotten prayer for this, I brought it before the Lord for this, but now, you know, I am known for this. Bartimaeus was known for what? He was the blind guy. But when he was healed, that's not what he was known for anymore. He was not known for being blind. The things that we have been known for when Christ comes into our life and touches us and heals us, those are the things we used to be known for. And it's not just sin stuff. You could be saved in this room, and yet you might be identified by something in your life. Maybe it's some physical thing. Maybe it's some sickness. Maybe it's some character trait. Maybe it's that you're always talking about your past. Maybe it's that you're always talking about being sick and that you are sick. And we're not belittling these needs because they need to be stated. But it has now become our license and our permit to get people's attention. And Jesus is saying, are you willing to give all that up? Do you really want to be healed? Do you really want to, the blessing that you're seeking? Because you're going to have to change. That which you were permitted to do before, you are not going to be permitted to do any longer. You are going to be called into a responsible standard and state of life in the community in which you live. The community in which you live and the Christian community in which you live. I've said it before, and we've watched it happen. People want to come for prayer and just pray for me. This is what I'm going through. Oh, thank you. And they feel good, and it's sentiment, and it's warm, and they got someone's attention. And it was nice, and they felt the presence of God. But they had no intention of ever really believing that they were going to be healed. Because they still want to be able to be identified by it and walk back into life and get people's attention and compassion from the same thing. These are hard things to say. But we have observed them and we have watched them. Jesus is saying, what do you want me to do for you? Because when I answer and when I heal and when I do this for you, it is going to call you into a life of responsibility, a life of faith, a life of joy. But you're not going to be permitted, have the license any longer, to feed on that which you have been used to. That's why Jesus asked these questions. Jesus was not dwarfed. He was not dumb. He knew the man was an invalid and he was there around the pool and that he wanted to be healed. Bring Bartimaeus over. He knew he was blind. Jesus could have walked over to him. He knew he was blind and he still said, what do you want me to do for you? Do we understand? Do I understand? Of what I'm really asking God to do for me. You You know, we've said things like, oh, I just want God to do this, and oh, please would he do it, and we pray, and we... But with the answer of that is not just this blessing. It is also the blessing of a life change, because we begin to care about something very different than what we used to. Is the motivation now to come and get compassion in someone to listen to your story, you know, day after day or week after week or month after month, and it's just the same thing over and over, and crying the blues and doing all of this? And when Jesus answers and the blessing comes, are you now ready to come in and listen to someone else's problems? And are you here to care for other people? And are you, because what you care about now changes. It's not that you're looking for attention, you're looking to give it. It's not that you're looking for a blessing, you're looking to give it. The challenge that Jesus faced was not just convincing people to believe, it was helping people begin to change what they care about. And those he asked the questions to, they had to begin to care about something else. Not just their need. Not just how they were perceived. That was all ripped up, torn, put aside. Because they were no longer going to be permitted to beg. They were no longer going to be permitted to just lounge around the pool and wait for it to be stirred to fight to get in first. This is what I believe. The fact of the matter is, there is enough faith in this room for God to do miracles. No question. You know, for most of you don't have to be convinced on what you believe. What needs to happen in me and in you is we need to see the transformation of what we really care about. Because when we really care about something, that's where our affection, our focus, our vision, and our effort and our resources go. When we really care about something. And when it's just us, and that's what we care about, that's what spills out of us, that's what we're looking for. And when God meets the need, what we care about has got to change. Jesus came to get us unstuck. For the physical healing, and God heals, it's a miracle. The greater miracle is when the person who's healed, they have a change of heart, and what they care about in life now has been changed. That is the miracle. Because that body that was healed, understand that one day, if Jesus tarries and doesn't come to rapture the church, that body's just going to turn to ash in the ground. But the spirit is forever. God is full of grace and mercy, and I'm so glad, I am so glad, personally, that yes, he gives handouts, that he gives blessings. He pours it out. It's who he is. But I'm also glad that he loves us enough to contend with us, with his spirit, that we would be able to say, yes, this is what I want, and I'm ready for what I care about to change too. Some of you in this room, we looked at two men who need healing, physical healings, because they're obvious things. They're things we can see. We can see such a contrast of the problem and what healing and health look like. But for some of us, it's not physical. We need our minds changed. We don't have mental illness. It's that we need our minds changed. What we think about and care about need to be changed. You believe. You are saved. So things that we care about need to change. And right away, he's saying, oh yeah, you're calling us to care about everything, meet every need, and, you know, no free time, no recreation, none of this, none of that. You know what? That's not godly. So if you swing to that extreme, you've not heard. You don't know him, and you don't know his word. Even God rested on the seventh day. Right? He rested on the seventh day. After all creation, he rested on the seventh day. He was up there in the balcony of heaven and looked on earth and said, that is a beautiful, that's going to be a beautiful golf course. I'm going to rest here and I'm going to play on Monday. I know, Randy, you don't see it as a golf course. You look at it as a beautiful hayfield for all your horses. Keep them off the fairway. That's where I play. Listen. God wants to meet your need. But he also wants us to be called beyond what we have been permitted to do. That the things we care about begin to change. And we move in faith and with responsibility. That which we have been known for, we would no longer be known for. Some of you in this room have needs. You need a miracle. Maybe it's a miracle in your body. Maybe you need him to do a miracle of the heart. A miracle of an attitude. Maybe you need him to do a miracle of a relationship. Maybe you need him to do a miracle in a thing that you just cannot do it on your own. Maybe it's a habitual thing. Maybe it's an addiction thing or a bondage thing. Whatever it is, you need him to step in. But understand that as he answers you, from the moment you walk away from that moment of seeking his blessing and he answers, as we turn and walk on in life, the things we care about have to be different than what they used to be. Well, some of them would stay the same. But some of the things need to fall to the wayside. They need to be burned up and gone. There's enough faith in this room for God to respond to do miracles. I believe that. But maybe he looks deeper and says, do you really want to be healed? Huh? Do you really? Because there's a responsibility that we're called to after receiving the blessing that we seek.
Thanks for joining us on the LifeCast. It is the ministry of New Life Assembly of God in Sparta, Wisconsin. If you are ever in the area, we would enjoy the opportunity of meeting you. Until then, remember, God is for you, not against you.